1320 WILS.
Michael Cohen here with producer Emily Scarlett. So listen, send me an email. Tell me what you think of these interviews. Talk to Tim Walberg. Talk to Richard Clements. Any comments you have would certainly be appreciated. We love getting feedback here, good or bad. So a case that will now be heard by the state Supreme Court involving the Gun Lake Tribe Casino in Allegan County could have some major implications for casinos across Michigan. To talk about what exactly is on the line, I'm joined by Matthew Fletcher, associate professor at the MSU College of Law and the director of the MSU Indigenous Law Center. Matthew, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
So you've been quoted as saying that this is an incredibly high-stakes case. So what exactly is on the line here, and how did it end up at the state Supreme Court?
Well, just a small correction, Michael. It's actually the United States Supreme Court.
Oh, that's a bit of a distinction. Thank you for the correction. Go ahead.
Well, I think there are two ways you could say it's high stakes. The first is for the tribe and the surrounding community down there in Allegan County. They've been generating millions of dollars in the last, less than a year since they've been open. And all of that will be shut down if this case goes, you know, ultimately the bad way for the tribe. So
what's at issue exactly? Yep.
Well, what's at issue is whether or not the land on which the casino is operating, which is technically owned by the United States and held in trust for the tribe, was legally placed there.
I see. And this is particular to just this tribe then in Michigan?
Right now it is, yes. But it has potential ramifications for tribes around the country. Basically, any tribe that has more recently been federally recognized as a viable Indian tribe by the United States. So say in the Salt Lake Gun Lake Band and a few other tribes in Michigan, it certainly has import. And for any tribe that has petitioned the Department of Interior anywhere in the country to take land into trust, it kind of opens the door to allow outsiders to sue to challenge that decision.
So these are tribes that they formed and land was given to them within the last 20, 30, 40 years or so?
Well, in this case, the tribe purchased the land with money it had, and it asks the Department of Interior to acquire the land, meaning they give the land to the federal government. And the federal government, when the federal government owns land, it comes off of the state tax rolls. The state has no regulatory authority over that, and the tribe can do things on there that it otherwise wouldn't be able to do. They can put up housing projects or police department, police forces, and they can certainly, if they get the consent of the governor, they can begin gaming there.
I see. And in this case, what is the situation that somebody is challenging the tribe's right to gamble there or to own a casino there?
Yeah, there have been multiple lawsuits against the southwestern Michigan tribes. There are three tribes down there, all recently federally recognized since 1994. And the challenges are usually funded by gaming interests, you know, say in northern Indiana or some other economic interest, perhaps in Grand Rapids, arguing basically every argument they can think of. Usually they're environmental cases. There are federal statutes that the federal government has to comply with environmentally in order to take any kind of action. So there are a lot of hoops to jump through in order to make this happen, and every hoop that the tribe or the federal government jumps through can be challenged by outsiders who are affected by the decision. And so this is just another in a long line of lawsuits.
But in terms of the tribes that have casinos, this is, I'm guessing, a very small portion of those that are in Michigan, these new tribes owning new land.
Well, about half the tribes have only been recognized since 1980 here in Michigan. There are 12 tribes, and I think 6 or 7 of them have only been recently recognized. And this affects them because they have a smaller land base. They're trying to put land into trust. They're starting out with nothing. And so those decisions are potentially at risk.
I'm talking to Professor Matthew Fletcher with the MSU College of Law. He's the director of the MSU Indigenous Law Center. I wonder, you know, of all the types of industries, gaming has some aspects that many people view as very negative. You know, it can affect families in a bad way. It's not necessarily a great thing for the community to have in it. How do Indian tribes deal with that aspect of this particular industry?
Well, I think tribes have been on the forefront since they've been doing this and funding a lot of gambling addiction programs and educational programs. They limit the, you know, certainly youth are not allowed into casinos. And I think of all, you know, that I think this surprises most people, but the tribes have been remarkably successful in avoiding problems of corruption that you see in places like Vegas and Atlantic City. And one interesting aspect of all of this is that the tribes that are doing gaming around the country are usually doing it in a place that's relatively rural, like Allegan County, where there's not a lot of economic activity. And the gaming enterprise has generated a lot of jobs and business activity in communities that aren't used to that sort of thing. And for the most part, and I would say the most part, the vast majority of cases, that the tribes' gaming operations are welcomed by the regional community.
Now, this particular casino, the Gun Lake Tribe Casino, from what I understand, it paid out a little over $10 million in state and local revenue sharing, while raking in about $104 million in net profits. With that kind of money coming in, I mean, how is that monitored within the tribe, and how is it known that you know, someone is not getting the bulk of that money?
Well, the federal government mandates that all gaming revenues and profits have to go to tribal government operations. And I think up to 40% of the money after revenue sharing can actually be shared with a professional company that would run the gaming operation. So after that, it all has to be carefully restricted in terms of how it can be used. It can only be used for government services. And you know, I remember working for a tribe out west, you know, talking to our gaming management guy, as well as, you know, at a meeting with other non-Indian gaming management guys in Nevada, and the tribal manager has to comply with federal regulations, they have to comply with state regulations, and they have to comply with tribal regulations, whereas non-Indian gaming entities only have to comply with state regulations. So there are, you know, there's serious constrictions on what tribes can do. And I think that's part of the reason why they've been so successful in keeping away corruption.
There was a proposal to open a casino in Lansing and other cities across Michigan. And I don't understand the full details of how it would be done, but it did involve being associated with an Indian tribe, I believe. Do you know how that would work, how that kind of a system would work to open a casino in Lansing?
Yeah, it would be incredibly difficult. You'd have to find a tribe that would be able to purchase land in the city and then persuade the Department of Interior to take that land into trust, and that's almost impossible. There have been a lot of proposals to do what this is called off-reservation gaming, and only a very small number of them have been successful. So the chances of it actually happening in Lansing are very remote, and it would require an enormous capital outlay in the first instance just to jump through all the political hoops to get the land into trust, to persuade the governor of the state to come up to consent to the gaming operation. And it's just a political hot potato, and, you know, there's a lot of money involved, so get people really excited at the outset, but almost never does it actually happen.
And this case that is in the U.S. Supreme Court now, or that the court will be ruling on, what is your prediction as to what the outcome will be of that ruling? I think what is a Republican majority at this point?
Well, you know, the funny thing about the Supreme Court is that when it comes to Indian law, you know, the regular ideologies sort of fall away. And what you have here is the Supreme Court usually only grants review in cases where they think the lower court was wrong. And the lower court in this case ruled in favor of the anti-gaming guy. So, when they do grant a case, they usually reverse about 70 to 75% of the time. So based on that statistic alone, that's probably the chance for the Gun Lake Casino and the federal government in this case to prevail.
I see.
It's probably a little bit higher than that, given that the federal government usually doesn't lose in its own court.
Well, and if that if they do rule against the casino, they, essentially all these newer Indian casinos would have to shut down then.
Well, not necessarily. The what would happen if this case goes against the tribe and the government is that it would go back to trial. It really wouldn't change anything for many years. And the federal government and the Gun Lake tribe would have to make an argument that the trust acquisition actually was legitimate and legal. So far, all this real question is that the Supreme Court is going to hear is whether or not this guy has the right to sue. Is eligible to sue.
Matthew Fletcher, Associate Professor at the MSU College of Law and Director of the MSU Indigenous Law Center. Thank you very much for joining me.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks.
Coming up next, the Michigan Bankers Association has awarded Governor Snyder with a 2011 Economic Impact Award. I'll talk to the head of the organization to find out why. That's next. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS.